This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this. Before we get into the Texans, Colin Cowherd said something about Mac Jones today. He said, we're hearing some stuff on Mac Jones. We're not going to talk about it on the air because we don't want to yet. We're hearing stuff that isn't great. So Colin Cowherd basically slandering the hell out of Mac Jones. You know, when you say you're hearing things that aren't good about a guy, you know, you're opening the door to, is it a domestic issue? Is it a drugs issue? Is it a gambling issue? I mean, you're really calling a guy's character into question. And then say, well, we're not going to tell you what it is, but we've heard it's really, really bad. That is horse crap. That is absolute freaking horse crap from a guy who knows way friggin' better. See, this is really one of the biggest problems with my industry is clicks outweigh everything. Responsible journalism? Nah, screw it, clicks. Accurate information? Nah, screw it, clicks. Building and maintaining relationships? Screw that, clicks. Everything is about clicks because that's how your sales department goes and gets more advertising. Look at all the clicks we got. It doesn't matter if they click to say you're a butthead. It doesn't matter if they click to say you're a jackass. All that matters is they clicked. And you could read, say, an 8-paragraph story. You don't even realize it, but with their page breaks, that's 9 clicks. This is bull crap to go out there and say that kind of highly negative, highly polarizing stuff about any athlete with absolutely zero proof, not back it up, not put anything into it. That is dog and turds and the dog left the yard. This is basically what national sports radio has devolved to. Say absolute idiocy. Click, 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 click. This is why I hate lists, right? Because lists are not about accuracy. Lists are not about real rankings. Lists are designed to tick you off so that you click and say, this is crap. And then you send it to all your buddies to say, look at this idiot. And then they all click. That is the entire point of lists, to tick you off and make you respond. It is never about accuracy. It is never about real research, real information. It's just to get interaction. This kind of crap where he's basically just slandering the snot out of Mac Jones was all done click, 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 and he's gotten a ton of them. And if you'd have tried this in 1996, your ass would have been kicked so far out the door, you might have landed in the next town. This is garbage. And I know that like this is, hey, if you want to be a big star in media, you gotta be polarizing. You've gotta be controversial. No, that's crap. That is not polarizing or controversial. That's just being a scumbag. And if I don't say enough idiotic things to, you know, be a star in media, you know what? I can go to bed at night and sleep, and I know that my kids aren't gonna go to school the next day and hear, your dad's a moron. My daughter's in high school. My son's in college. You know what? I don't need them to hear that. But, I mean, this is offensive. And I'm somebody, basically, I don't get offended. I mean, look, I'm from Brooklyn. I give flying rat's ass. I got people come at me all day long online, on Twitch. You suck. You're fat. You're stupid. Dude, you mean nothing to me. I could care less. You know what's going on? You're following me I'm not following you. You can talk all the trash you want. I could care less. We as media members, whether you're a journalist or an entertainer, you have certain responsibilities. And number one, no matter how many people say it's okay to make you the story, you shouldn't be the story at the expense of the athletes that we cover. They're the story. When they do something great, we tell the story. When they do something stupid, we tell the story. But there's a difference between telling the story of what happened and then pulling stuff straight out your ass and presenting it like it's hard fact when it is not. In fact, you made it up an hour ago. And not only am I going to pull this straight out my ass and say something really bad about somebody else, and with a guy that prominent, that big a platform, the bigger your platform, the more your responsibility is, right? With great power comes great responsibility. When you have a bigger platform, you have bigger responsibility to not be an asshat. With that platform, to do what he did, to say, oh, I'm hearing a lot of bad things about this guy, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. That is the biggest pile of crap that anybody in my business could ever possibly do. But because he's Colin Cowherd, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And it should never be okay. And the more we allow crap like that to go unchecked, I mean, it's bad enough when you're saying, you know, AC/DC and Rock You Like a Hurricane, or you're saying stuff like CJ Stroud's going to be the first rookie quarterback to get benched this year. Like, what, a couple of months after saying CJ Stroud's going to be the best quarterback of the rookies. Now he's going to be the first guy. The guy changes his story like he changes his underwear. John Kerry didn't flip-flop the way Colin Cowherd flip-flops. And he's the damn king of flip-flop. I'm assuming everybody listening is old enough to know who John Kerry is. If you're not, Google is your friend. This is the kind of stuff that should never go on in any market and certainly never go on national platforms. I mean, the one thing I really want to hear, I want to hear someone ask Bill Belichick about this. And I want Belichick to go full Belichick and tear him 17 new ones. That would make it worthwhile. Because ticked off Belichick is awesome. I love ticked off Belichick. This is crap. This should never, ever, ever happen. Coming up next, it's time for Money Plays. We'll talk to our buddy Steve Reeder from BettingPredators.com. AvoidTheVIG.com. He's got your NFL best bets for the weekend. Next.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, is it in good working order, the bidet?
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money!
Presented by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
Now joining us on the HRMP guest line, professional NFL handicapper with BettingPredators.com, with AvoidTheVIG.com. He is our buddy Steve Reeder. What's going on, Steve?
Patrick, man, we made some money last week. I cannot wait to make some more money this weekend as well.
Dude, I appreciate the extra money that you made me last week. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Let's get some Mo Dalla Dallas coming up for this weekend. Let's get started with a game I know you were waiting to talk about. This is one of the really good matchups in the 1 o'clock window for the East Coast. But we're not in the West Coast, so I don't have to say 1 o'clock. I could say the noon window because screw the East Coast. I don't live there anymore. So they can kiss my ass. All my friends back home don't die in the flood. Ravens and Browns. Brownies at home. They're 2-point favorites. What do you like about this game with the Ravens and the Browns?
Yeah, this one has been an interesting situation here, and I liked it a little bit coming into it, and today I like it even more. Let's take a look right here. Baltimore coming off an inexcusable loss to the Colts last week, and I'm angry about it because I actually lost a teaser on the play. Baltimore is 2-1, and they haven't looked overly fantastic. Monken was supposed to come in and revolutionize the offense. There were supposed to be big plays abound, and that hasn't happened, not remotely. But I think a lot of that is because of the injuries that they've sustained. And they're starting to get healthier this week, particularly in the offensive line. And if we talk about scheme changes, particularly with the offense, and you see what Lamar Jackson has done in the past versus what they're trying to do now, it's going to take time. And I think that over the course of the season, you're going to see them get better and better as the season progresses. And I think this is a game that if you try to hold some things back, you're going to do so and now show it against a team that is a division rival like the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, Baltimore's going to get up against a powerhouse this week, and the defense has been lights out. They've only allowed 19 points, not last week, not the week before, all season long. They've been so good that if Deshaun Watson handed the ball off every single snap in week two, they would be sitting here right now 3-0. But Watson's a below-average quarterback, and with Nick Chubb out, there will be games that it's difficult to manufacture points, and this could be one of those games because Baltimore's defense is actually really good. You know, Cleveland, I mentioned, was fantastic, only 19 points all year. They're second in DVOA. Baltimore is fifth. And both offense have looked disjointed. We have a division rival. You know, everything screams here the under, but that already got hit. And anything under south of 41, it's really dicey for me to buy into. So I'm leaving that alone. It doesn't mean there's not opportunity in this game. In fact, news broke earlier today that Watson did hurt his shoulder and did not practice. So now I have a QB that I was lower on the market, who will either be banged up or out. The number has already been hit a little bit. I actually got a little buyback actually this evening. But without Chubb and a banged up Watson, I still see value left. Baltimore at plus money on the money line. Anything plus money, I think is worth a bet. In fact, I don't even think it's worth a bet. I think we should bet it. Baltimore money line at plus money, it looks like. I'm going to lock it in right now, Patrick.
Ravens and the money line. That is bet number one. This is another game in the 12 o'clock window. This one I really, really have a lot of interest in. And that is the Dolphins in the Bills, you know, up in Orchard Park. And the Bills are actually favored in this game. And I got to ask you, number one, can anybody stop the Dolphins offense? And two, why the hell are the Bills favored?
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you bring up because two things. How are the Dolphins favored? Can someone stop their offense? You know, those are the two things I'm really looking at. And I'm really surprised by this because I thought there would be a lot of, and maybe the public money will come this weekend. I haven't really seen it in the marketplace right now because I don't think there's a lot of public money that's in it. And I think there's a lot of professional bettors. And you actually see this number creeping up back up to 3 right now. We're split between 2.5 and 3. But Buffalo, you know, the look ahead was Buffalo -3. And we're now straddling that 2.5 and 3 range. You know, I know Buffalo had a great game last week. Miami put up 70 points. 70 points. And this number is almost adequate to where it was previously. It's almost identical. You know, the total went up from 50 on the look-ahead market to it's now sitting at 53.5, 54. So you see a big adjustment in the total, but not so much in the side itself, which is a little bit surprising to me. You know, for me, I have Miami slightly better in my power ratings. Add in home field advantage. I do have Buffalo a small favorite. But when you get to the number 3, that's a big jump for me. You know, scoring, Miami put up 70, like I said, without Waddle. They're getting him back this week. They're the number one offense in DVOA team going away. And Tua, who there's a lot of conversation about, everybody thinks he's going to get injured, and maybe that time will come. You know, God willing, he's okay because I love watching him play. He's number one in EPA per play and completion percentage above expectation. He is, and this Miami Dolphins offense, is a big play waiting to happen. If you take a look at the top 6 fastest ball carriers this season, all of them, every single one of them, is a Miami Dolphin offensive player. This is going to be their greatest test. You know, make no mistakes about it. Buffalo's defense is actually 7th in DVOA. They have yet to allow more than 16 points. But they've also haven't faced an offense as good as the Miami Dolphins. The Bills offense put up 38 and 37 points the last 2 weeks, so you can see the over, you see why the money's coming in. I just don't understand why we saw such an uptick in the total, but not in the side here. And we're able to get three for a division rival game, which I think is kind of a toss-up. Give me Miami plus three all day long.
Dolphins and the points. Talking with Steve Reeder at bettingpredators.com. Avoid the vig.com with us on the HRNP guest line. Steve, battle of the winless. One of these teams I don't think we expected to be winless, and that's the Minnesota Vikings. Team turmoil right now. Trade winds swirling around them. Maybe not real trade winds, but certainly all over the media trade winds regarding Kirk Cousins. And the Carolina Panthers, who are expected to get Bryce Young back this weekend. Miami is a four-point favorite, which seems a little low. What are your thoughts on this game in Charlotte?
Yeah, this was earlier in the week. It was minus three. And, you know, you have to love that. At 3.5, you like it. You know, at 4, it's like that questionable play here with Minnesota. So you see some movement and progression in the line, and obviously we're talking on a Friday night, and we're sitting here at 4.5. There's a couple spots that are at 4. So we're going to pivot a little bit here, but let's talk about the Vikings for a second. Let's pause. Let's take a look back. Last season they went to the playoffs. They were way better record-wise than they were as a value for the team itself. Minnesota was winning every single close game. They were undefeated in one-score games. They had turnovers in their favor. Everything as a luck factor was going their way. This season, every single thing seems to be going against them. Listen to this. They have 6 turnovers. Not just 6 turnovers for the season. 6 turnovers inside the opponent 20-yard line in the red zone. They have 6 turnovers. If that's not bad enough, 4 of those turnovers came in the 1-yard line or in the end zone itself. It is unbelievable how unlucky Minnesota has been. They are winless on the year, but they're not nearly as bad as their record suggests. Now, Carolina Panthers might be as bad as the record suggests. Add in the fact that Shaq Thompson, Frankie Louvu, J.C. Horn, Xavier Woods, and C.J. Henderson also questionable. All of those players are injured. They might not be household names, but that defense, what was supposed to carry them this year, is not nearly what they were the previous years and what their expectation was. That is a significant detriment to the team. Now, Minnesota, also offensively, everybody looks at Cousins, but he's top 10 in composite EPA between completion percentage over expectation and EPA. You know, he's playing fine. The offense is fine. It's the defense that has struggled. And Brian Flores came in. It's a blitzing attack. It hasn't found home. They don't have the personnel to do it. But if there's ever a time that it might work, could it be with a rookie quarterback that holds the ball too long, that is also has an ankle injury and limited mobility? I think this might be the moment. You know, it's a winless Minnesota team. They need to win like blood right now. If they don't win, the entire team it could be up on the auction block. Take it to the highest bidder. Get rid of these guys. Let's trade them for assets and move on to next year. But, you know, the line has moved on the side. So what I want to pivot to is Minnesota over 24.5 points. You know, there's so many injuries on that Carolina team. Minnesota has manufactured points throughout the season, and I think that defense for Minnesota is going to manufacture turnovers against Bryce Young, which could put Minnesota's offense in advantageous positions. Give me over Minnesota total points, 24.5.
Now, I'm going to be fair here. If they trade Kirk Cousins, everybody who had the number one pick in their fantasy draft and took Justin Jefferson is screwed. Unless, of course, Justin Jefferson and his pending, you know, $20 million salary for next year also gets traded. But then I think the franchise ability to draw fans is screwed. But the Vikings definitely have, like, they have to win this game. They should be beyond desperate as far as, you know, pulling the trigger to win this game. Vikings team total over 24.5 is pick number 3. Let's get into another game. This one, of course, involves not the Houston Texans, but a team in their division. That would be the Tennessee Titans. They are hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are 2.5-point favorites in this game. But the bigger question is, you know, last year the Titans' offense completely came apart as Ryan Tannehill got injured. They traded A.J. Brown. They had no answer to replace him. This year, they go out, they get DeAndre Hopkins, who I still think DeAndre Hopkins is a really good wide receiver. I just don't think he's Houston Texans' DeAndre Hopkins good anymore. And the bloom seems to be off the rose with Tannehill as far as his playing. What do you see? What is the bet that you like most when it comes to the Bengals and the Titans this week?
You're touching on a lot of it already. I mean, Tannehill is not a good quarterback. He's borderline starting level, and even then, I'm not overly enthused about it. And DeAndre Hopkins, you know, obviously everybody knows him. He's a household name. He's had incredible success in the NFL. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame, but he's not a difference maker at this point. You know, Tennessee, their team total is set at 20.5 right now. They've only eclipsed this number one time this season, and against a team in the L.A. Chargers whose defense is absolutely porous. They scored only 3 points last week against Cleveland. And I know I mentioned Cleveland could be the one of the best teams, defenses in the league. But Cincinnati's not nothing to kind of like just disregard here. They had a lackluster start, sure, but Lou Anarumo got that team back to playing hard last week. They held the L.A. Chargers to 16 points in prime time. And the Rams to 16 points last week. And the Rams are significantly better than Tennessee. The Rams are much better on offense and the offensive line than the banged-up Titans O-line. But their line right now, they might have open workouts, kind of like the Eagles did with Vince Papale in the movie Invincible that everybody raves about. That's where they are right now. Let's pull people off the streets. Let's see if we can find somebody locally. Cincinnati had 10 QB hits last week and 6 sacks Monday night. If they're able to do that to the Rams, what are they going to do to this Tennessee offensive line and Ryan Tannehill? Cincinnati's D is more susceptible to the run than the pass, which may actually help Tennessee a little bit. But let's stop for a second here. You know, that run is not working for Tennessee. Derrick Henry is hurt. They haven't been able to run the ball at all. So, you know, and on the flip side, Cincinnati's going to be looking for shorter completions for Burrow, considering his injury. So I think that's not going to put up those big plays, give the ball back to the Titans. It's going to manufacture, you know, plays down the field, move the chains, sustain drives. That's all great for the Cincinnati offense. It's going to be negative for the Tennessee offense. So give me Tennessee under 20.5 team total.
Tennessee under on the team total. All right, last one for you, Steve. This involves maybe this might be the toilet bowl game of the week. The Broncos and the Bears, two teams going absolutely frickin' nowhere. With two embattled quarterbacks in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Fields, you know, made comments last week about, hey, you know, maybe my coaching isn't up to par. Maybe they're not coaching me the right way. Russell Wilson being told he needs to stop kissing babies by his head coach. Although, you know, Russell Wilson's touchdown interception ratio at 6-2 is not terrible. What do you like for these two quarterbacks in this game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I like the over on both of them. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. And if you miss the 45.5 that were out there, there was a 46 in the market. That might be worth a look. But I'm pivoting right to the player props here. We're going to go Russell Wilson over 1.5 passing touchdowns, plus 110. Chicago's secondary is an absolute complete disaster. They have two on the IR, two out for this game. They picked up a practice squad player off of the Minnesota practice squad. Minnesota, the secondary that is awful for Minnesota, this individual wasn't even good enough to make the active roster. And this is the player that the Chicago is going to pick up. Minnesota secondary isn't good to begin with. This isn't making it any better for Chicago. Russell Wilson has Sutton, Judy, and Marvin Mims is coming out of nowhere. He's a TD machine. Wilson hit this in two of his last three games. He has 6 TDs on the year. It's the easiest defense he's faced. I like over 1.5 passing touchdowns. And in the same game, Justin Fields, holy cow, man, this is do or die for this man. Over 58 rushing yards. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. The Broncos will be able to get some big plays, would give the Bears more offensive opportunities. The Broncos haven't seen a running quarterback yet to prepare for, which usually is advantageous for that offense. The designed runs have to increase this last week and have to increase this week. There's been so much talk about Fields and the coaching staff getting back to what he does best. And it's improvising in that offense. If Fields and Chicago don't turn it around, they're going to draft his replacement this week. His career is on the line. I fully expect him to run early and often in this one, over 58.5 rushing yards for Justin Fields.
Steve Reeder, avoidthevig.com, bettingpredators.com with us on the HRMP guest line for a money plays, dropping six free plays for you here on Money Plays. Follow them on Twitter at avoidthevig. And of course, you can get his work, bettingpredators.com, avoidthevig.com. Steve, always appreciate you, my friend. We'll catch you next week.
You got it, Patrick. Let's make some money.
All right, Steve Reeder, avoidthevig.com, bettingpredators.com, with us on the HRNP guest line. Before we hit the break, got to tell you about where you can now take all that information you just got from Steve and how to turn it into money, and that is at betus.com. All right, now you can go to the original online sportsbook celebrating their 30th year as an online sports betting service, now offering you up to 30 risk-free bets. Not one, not two, tell them LeBron, not three, not four, not five, up to 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect, and nobody has it except BetUS.com. BetUS also has the industry's biggest sign-up bonus, 125% sign-up bonus in your account right away, that you can take that money and go bet and go win with info that you get right here on Money Plays from guys like Steve Reeder. Get Bet Protect. Get the industry's biggest sign-on bonus. Hey, 125, not us. Would you like a 200% sign-on bonus? Sign up. Make your first deposit with crypto. Get a 200% sign-on bonus. Don't know how to sign up with crypto? Call them. 1-800-MY-BET-US. 1-800-MY-BET-US. Or go to BetUS.com. Learn about all the bonuses, all the special offers. BetUS.com, Sportsbook and Casino, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
So last week, we had a lot of concern about the Texans because the injuries to the offensive line just seem like they never end. Texans offensive line surprised us last week. They played way better than anybody could have ever expected. And because of that, C.J. Stroud had generally had time to find receivers. And when he did, he absolutely shredded the Jaguars. Texans got their first win of the season. They did so in very impressive fashion. This week, they get the Steelers. And the guy that I think is the absolute best pass rusher in the NFL, and T.J. Watt. You want to find a guy who just, no matter what, the engine never stops, is more than most linemen can handle one-on-one, can absolutely wreck a game and change things on one play. T.J. Watt. Better than the Boses, better than Myles Garrett. I think T.J. Watt is the absolute best pass rusher in the game right now. Well, the Texans are, you know, already have Titus Howard on IR and Juice Scruggs on IR and Scott Questenberry on IR and Kenny Green on IR. And, well, Laremy Tunsil, he is not going to play this week. Again. And Josh Jones, who replaced Laremy Tunsil last week, he is also not going to play this week because he's got a hand injury. Texans are now down to their sixth tackle, right? Because Tunsil 1, Howard 2, Charlie Heck 3, they're all out. George Fant's going to play. He's 4. Josh Jones, 5, out. They are down to Austin Deklis at tackle. I think he's got 5 total snaps at tackle in the NFL that are not on special teams. Maybe. And I would 100% expect Austin Deckless is going to get a very large helping of TJ Watt. Also, Michael Dieter, who was the left guard last week, questionable, did not practice on Friday. He was added to the injury report Thursday with a chest injury where he was a limited participant, was a non-participant today. He's listed as questionable. Generally, if you don't practice on Friday, you don't play. So they're going to be down to their fourth guard. They're already on their third center, sixth-round pick. This is what projects to be the Texans' offensive line against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Left tackle, Austin Deckless. Left guard, Kendrick Green. Center, Jarrett Patterson. Right guard, Shaq Mason, the only starter in the group. And right tackle, George Fant, who has struggled mightily so far this season and has spent his fair share of time on the injured list, although this week not actually listed on the injury report, anything other than rest from Wednesday. But for the first couple of weeks, he's been listed on the injury report. He's not had a great season so far. And maybe they move things around. Maybe there's something different. But right now, that looks like what they're going to start. If you're TJ Watt and you're going against Austin Deckless and George Fant, man, you are so excited the neighbors can see it. And look, they're going to have to be very creative in how they keep TJ Watt off of CJ Stroud's back. They're going to have to double him. They're going to have to chip him. They're going to have to bump him. They're going to have to screen him. They're going to have to undercut him. You might remember seeing teams undercut J.J. Watt where, you know, they'd pack the lineman in tight, make J.J. run around the outside, and then run the play inside the vacated spot where J.J. was because he went wide. You undercut him. They're going to have to get very creative. They might have to screen. They might have to flare. You have the running back, give him a little bump, and then, you know, go out for a little curl route. They're going to have to. You can't stop them. But you got to slow them down. You got to make him think about what he's doing so it's not just easy and he can pin his ears back and come after Stroud. You got to make him wonder, is that a run? Is there going to be a pass right over my head? You've got to make him think and hesitate to keep him off of C.J. Stroud. Do not want T.J. Watt wrecking this game against lower than replacement level tackles. I mean, I'm not sure Austin Deckless starts in the XFL. And I'm not trying to be mean about that. In fact, I believe Austin Deckless was on the Roughnecks, but he was pretty much hurt the whole time. I want to say he was. He doesn't show up, though, so maybe I have that wrong.
His first snap, he gave up that sack to Stroud.
Yeah, in the preseason, gave up the sack. But look, he's from Cy-Fair. He went to LSU. Generally, if you go to LSU, you don't suck. But he's a sixth-round pick. He was drafted as a project tackle. He's 24 years old. He's a big dude. He's 6'5", 21 pounds. He's a big dude. But T.J. Watt is like the absolute pinnacle of what you're going to go against. And if you ask me better quarterback, C.J. Stroud or Kenny Pickett, man, that doesn't even take a nanosecond to say it's C.J. Stroud. The Steelers' offense has been god-awful. But you don't want to see T.J. Watt wrecking the game because they can't block him. They're going to have to be really creative. And whether or not they can keep C.J. upright against that pass rush is literally going to determine the game. If they can keep Stroud mostly protected and they don't have any sacks that become turnovers, Texans should win this game. I think the Texans' offense is way better than Pittsburgh's offense. Pittsburgh's offense sucks. Kenny Pickett's been horrible. All that talk about how he was perfect in the preseason, he has been awful through three games. They're terrible. They got to keep CJ upright and make sure he doesn't get killed because, I mean, realistically, they've got a big quarterback edge here. They can't get gashed on the ground defensively. They can't let TJ run wild in the backfield. Two things, two keys, do those two things, get a win. All right, we'll get our NFL picks in as we wrap up the show next. First, before we hit the break, I gotta tell you about my man, Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. I went to go see Dr. Ben 4 years ago. I originally wasn't going to go see him because I'd been to over a half dozen doctors in two different states. They all told me the same thing. Look, you have sinus issues. There's nothing you can really do about it. You have to take antibiotics your whole life. None of them ever gave me anything other than that as an option. Only Dr. Ben wanted to find out the root of the cause. Only Dr. Ben got me off the cycle of every other month having a sinus infection, got me off the cycle of living on antibiotics because he took the time to figure out exactly what was going on inside my head. Everything is done in his state-of-the-art facility in North Houston, and everything is done by Dr. Ben. No other doctors. Don't go see this guy. Don't make an appointment over there. Go to a different facility. Don't have to do any of that. It's always Dr. Ben. I had a procedure with him a month later. They had to surgically remove staph infection that was highly resistant to antibiotics out of my head. It had done so much damage. There was so much dead and damaged tissue in my sinuses. My sinus cavity was almost completely blocked. That's how bad. Just normal breathing I was struggling with. Turned out that because my sinuses were so blocked up, it was causing me to snore at night. I had no airway getting, no air passage getting through. So I got rid of the staph infection. I had a balloon sinusitis that got rid of all the damaged tissue and opened up my airways. And I don't snore anymore because my airways are open. Now when I go to bed, I wake up and I feel good. If you're a snorer and you know what I'm talking about, a lot of times you wake up feeling even more tired than when you went to bed because you rolled over all night long. If you have sinus issues, snoring issues, sleep apnea issues, you need to go see Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. You can put an end to all of it. 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313. Let Dr. Ben do for you what he did for me, what he's done for dozens of other late hitters, what he's done for thousands of people in the greater Houston area. Let him help you break the cycle and breathe.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Patrick Creighton for my good friend Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Do you suffer from sleep apnea? Dr. Ben Salento is one of the pioneering doctors of the latest technology in treating sleep apnea. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a tiny implant that keeps your airways open while you sleep. You even get to control the implant with a remote. So you get rid of that bulky CPAP machine, breathe and sleep better with Inspire. To learn more about this incredible new technology, go make an appointment to see Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring today. Take this number down. Give him a call. 346-413-9313. That's 346-413-9313. Or go online and set up your consultation at TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Go see Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. Break the cycle and breathe.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by MedUS.
Don't have a whole lot of time for NFL picks, but we'll get to them here. As Martin Maldonado arguing a strike three that was not a borderline pitch, but it was an obvious strike. Arguing it. The Astros have gotten more than they realistically had the right to expect from Jose Urquidy getting a start on extremely short notice. Urquidy has given up one hit through four-plus innings, has not allowed a run, and the Astros' bats have done nothing through five innings. You know you need to come in and give your guy who's not even supposed to be starting today, you know you need to come in and give this guy, you know, some support, and the Astros are doing oon and gots at the plate tonight. All right, NFL picks from Wembley Stadium, the Falcons and the Jaguars. Jags are favored by 3. I like the Jags in this game. I think the Falcons are highly overrated. And I think the Jaguars are stung by how poorly they played last week against the Houston Texans. I think that should be a focused Jacksonville Jaguars team. They are the most comfortable team playing overseas. I would expect the Jags going to get a victory. I'll lay the 3 points and take the Jaguars. Dolphins in Buffalo. Bills are 2.5-point favorites. I'm on wrong team favored here. Nobody's been able to stop the Dolphins' offense. I do not expect the Bills to stop the Dolphins' offense. Getting points, taking the Dolphins all day long. Broncos and the Bears at Soldier Field. The Broncos are actually favored in this game. They're laying 3.5, and I'm going to lay the 3.5. That's how dysfunctional the Bears are right now. They've got drama between the players and the coaching staff, drama with the offense, drama with a coach having to resign. Coach may have been raided by the FBI. This is just, everything is just falling apart for the Bears very early here. I'll take the Broncos, lay the 3.5. Ravens and the Browns. Brownies favored by 2 at home. You heard Steve Reeder talk about this game. He likes the Ravens on the money line. I like the Ravens getting 2 points, and I will take the Ravens and the 2. Bengals and Titans is another game. The Titans' offense is a mess. Ryan Tannehill stinks. The Bengals are only 2.5-point favorites. I'll take the Bengals against a very bad Tennessee Titans offense and lay the 2.5. Rams and Colts, this game, believe it or not, is a pick'em game. And I think that line is a little wacky. Look, I expect Anthony Richardson to be back this week. And he does present different issues. Matt Stafford was bad last week. I don't think Stafford will be bad 2 weeks in a row. I will take the Rams on the road against the Colts. Bucks and Saints. New Orleans a 3-point favorite in this game. I think New Orleans defense. These are two pretty good defenses. And I would give the edge to the Saints, really, as a home game. So Saints -3 as the home team. Where we're going with that. Eagles, 9-point favorites at home over the Commies. This game might be over the half. I expect the Eagles to absolutely mudhole stomp the Commanders. 9's a lot. I'm laying the 9. Vikings and Panthers. Talked about this with Steve Reeder earlier. Vikings are 4-point favorites. Bryce Young should be back for the Panthers. The Panthers are just not very good right now. And Bryce Young hasn't been very good, and he's going to be coming off injury. The Vikings are in absolute desperation mode as at 0-3. Their season and whether or not they're going to stay Vikings, very much on the line. I will take the Panthers to lose. I'll take the Vikings to win this game and lay the 4, as I expect them to be. They are the better team, and they should be the more desperate team. Steelers are 2.5-point favorites here in Houston against the Texans. I have a lot of questions about, can the Texans protect C.J. Stroud? I also think the Texans' offense is way better than the Steelers' offense. I think the Texans' quarterback is much better than the Steelers' quarterback. This game might not have a ton of scoring. I will take the Texans getting 2.5 points at home. Raiders and Chargers. Chargers favored by 5 at home. The Chargers don't really have home games because nobody likes the Chargers in L.A. But the Raiders are a hot mess right now. The Chargers will score. I don't know about their defense, but they'll score. 5 is a lot to lay, but I have questions have a lot of questions about the Raiders. I'm going to take the Chargers, lay the five, and hope to God that they don't screw me on that. Cowboys and Patriots. The Patriots in Dallas. Cowboys 6.5-point favorites. Cowboys were awful last week. They're not going to be that bad again. But the Patriots stay in games because of their defense. I don't know how well the offense is going to play, but they'll stay in games because of the defense. I'm going to take the Pats with the 6.5 to cover that spread. Niners at home against the Cardinals. They're laying 14. That is a holy crap number. The Cardinals have been better than expected every single week. They're coming off a big win over the Cowboys, so I am feeling let down here. The 49ers are not a team that I expect to have a letdown or a look by. I expect them to come out here, division game, and kick ass. Take the Niners and the points. Chiefs are in the swamps of Jersey taking on the JEST. 8.5-point favorites. There is no way in hell a Zach Wilson offense is keeping it with Pat Mahomes. Chiefs minus 8.5. And then Monday night, again, from the swamps of Jersey, the Seahawks and the Giants. Man, the Giants are just overrun with injuries. I'm going to take the Seahawks and lay the 1.5. It's going to do it for us for tonight. Want to say thanks to Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider. Want to say thanks, Steve Reeder. AvoidTheVig.com, BettingPredators.com. BT, first show, only the side of the glass. Well done, my friend. Our texters, tweeters, and twitchers. We're back again on Monday night. Here's hoping for some good news for the Astros. A nice performance from the Texans. Have a great night. H-Town!
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip. Now,
Mr. Campbell, send out an amendment to the step of the author. Is there objection to the officer amendment? And the chair has an amendment. Amendment is adopted.